love that song. It always reminds me of another name for God. Are any of y'all familiar with God's other name? Andy. Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. No? Yes? Oh, swing and a miss. All right, kids, come on up. Have our children come forward for our children's moment. How are you all this morning? Y'all doing all right? Good. Mr. Robert is bringing the bag this morning. Oh my, that's a... Holy moly. Well, it's not a paycheck, I know that. Holy smokes, look at that. All right. Oh, cool, a nutcracker. What are these things? Oh, easy, 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 easy. No, we're not going to touch. We're going to look with our hands and or with our eyes and not with our hands. All right. Don't touch. Now, what does a nutcracker do? Cracks nuts, right? So we can eat them, right? Nuts have a hard outer shell, don't they? Sometimes people have a hard outer shell too, don't they? And we've got to kind of crack that nut, and we've got to come up to them, and we've got to show them the love of Jesus. And there are some people that are a little harder to show that love to than others. But we don't touch. And we've got to be extra nice to them and know that there are different ways that we can approach them. And sometimes it's best to have somebody else reach out to them because for some reason we just can't do it, right? But we still got to be nice to everybody and to know that if we continue to show them the love of Jesus, their hard outer shell will break over time, and Jesus will come in and he will help, right? And he will make them whole in the way that they want to. Yeah, that's right. So I'm going to give this back to Robert before any of you all get your fingerprints on there. Yes. And give this humongous bag back to him as well. Thank you, sir. Yeah, we don't want to do that. All right. We're going to pray, and then you guys can go and follow Miss Vicky downstairs, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for all the people that you call us to love and to help. Lord, and while some are more difficult than others, we pray that you would help us to find ways to show your love to them, Lord, to get past those outer defenses that they have and to just be faithful to your call to witness and to make disciples. We thank you for these children, for their love and grace, and the opportunity we have to teach them and to learn from them. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can go downstairs. Scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 12, going to verse 20. Last week we looked at the first 11 verses of this chapter as we considered goodness. If you'll go to the next slide, please. We're continuing to focus on the fruit of the Spirit. And if you'll remember back in January, the first Sunday, we started with love, because love is what begins this whole process. Love is God's initiating work in our lives. And as love grows and expands, it begins to encompass these other things. And joy then is how we express the love that we have received and how we show that love to others. Peace is what we receive from God and what we are given to give to others, to bring as we go from place to place. That patience is the non-anxious waiting on God to do what God is going to do and seeking to understand His time above our own. Kindness then is seeing the value in others, right? Recognizing as Christians that Christ has created us all, and so all of us are deserving of love and grace. And then last week, again, we looked at goodness, and we considered that God is calling us and forming us and shaping us to be good. Good as he intended his creation to be in Genesis 1 and 2. And so today, as we continue to consider all of these things, we move now on to faithfulness. And faithfulness, I think, is the product of the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness in our lives. And so as we consider that this morning, I want us to hear from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 20. So if the message that is preached says that Christ has been raised from the dead, then how come some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ hasn't been raised either. If Christ hasn't been raised, then our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. We are found to be false witnesses about God because we testified against God that he raised Christ when he didn't raise him, if it's the case that the dead aren't raised. If the dead aren't raised, then Christ hasn't been raised either. If Christ hasn't been raised, then your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. And what's more, those who have died in Christ are gone forever. If we have a hope in Christ only in this life, then we deserve to be pitied more than anyone else. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the first crop of the harvest of those who have died. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day, for your love and your grace, for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given to me this morning. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Faithfulness. That's our task this morning. Faithfulness is what propels us forward. I believe that faithfulness focuses us and keeps us focused on the motivations of our goodness, our kindness, our patience, our peace, our joy, and our love. Faithfulness gives reason for these things. Without faith in God, why would we do anything, right? What would be the purpose of life if God is not here, if God is not who he claims to be in Scripture? Faith reminds us of God's love toward us, his joy, his peace, his patience, or as the King James says, his long-suffering towards us, right? His kindness, his goodness. Faith reminds us of all of these things, reminds us of these attributes of God, reminds us that God is the beginning, and all of these things stem from God. And so as we grow in our love, in this fruit of the Spirit, we are growing more like God. And so faithfulness requires trust in God. Trust in a God that we have not seen. Trust in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which, again, Paul testifies to, but we have not seen. Now, we know that faith is the evidence of things unseen, right? It's the belief that something happened even though we were not there to witness it. Faithfulness, then, is how we respond to these things that we have not seen. It's how we respond to God, who shows up in a myriad of ways, but we do not ever glimpse him in his fullness. And we see glimpses of God only when we are being faithful. During our council meetings, one of the first things we do is we share glory sightings. And we share those moments where we have seen God at work. And it reminds us that faithfulness has a very great reward. It reminds us that when we are faithful, we will see God in action. And I think I can speak for most of our council members who would agree that when we share those, it is a very joyful time. A time that gets us excited about the work before us. We see glimpses of God in our faithfulness. Of the utmost importance for our faithfulness is the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus is the central claim that we make as Christians. It is central to what we do. It is why we gather on Sunday mornings. The reason we worship on Sunday morning is because, well, there's a few reasons, but the primary reason is because the women, early on the first day of the week, went to the temple. And what did they find? An empty tomb. They found some angels bearing witness to the fact that Jesus had been raised. And so every Sunday morning when we get up and when we think, should I go to church or not? We remember that we go because those ladies went. And because they went, they were the first to hear of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that propelled them in their faithfulness towards God and towards others. And what then did they do? They went and preached the first resurrection sermon to Jesus' closest followers who did not believe. Right? That's why we gather on Sunday morning. Sunday is not the Sabbath. Saturday is the Sabbath. It is the last day of the week. It is the day of rest. And on Sunday, we wake up refreshed from our rest, ready to see what God has in store for us. That is why we are here. It is why we gather when we gather. Paul goes on to say in verses 14 and 17 that without the resurrection, our faith is useless and worthless. Now, do we want faith that's useless or worthless? Do we want to be people who are useless or worthless? No, we don't. And so our faith in the resurrection propels us to the faithful work that we are called to. The resurrection of Jesus is not only a sign of God's faithfulness towards us, but a call for us to be faithful towards Him and to be faithful to others. The resurrection points us towards a God who desires to be with us, to be present with us. Jesus did not remain in the tomb because that's not where we are. He came back for us. And faith in the resurrection isn't just about our future destination. A friend of mine and I were talking this week. He's preaching the same sermon today on the same passage. And he made this quote that I told him I was going to borrow. And he said that Jesus did not rise again just so that we could go to heaven one day. The resurrection didn't happen just so that someday when we die we could go to heaven. If that's what our faith is in, then we've missed the point entirely. The resurrection occurred so that heaven could be a present reality now. So that God would not be some distant God far away that we have to travel to eventually, but to remind us that God is here now. Calling us to faith now. Calling us to be faithful now. Every week we pray, may it happen on earth as it is in heaven, right? May the resurrection be meaningful today, not just in the future. This is the work of faithfulness, making heaven a reality now, making Jesus a reality now. I often think of faithfulness in terms of loyalty, right? How many of us think of it maybe in terms of loyalty? I like to consider myself a pretty loyal person. In fact, I can remember at times in my own life getting frustrated with people that I didn't think were as loyal to me as I was of them. But then again, I probably didn't think of all the ways I had not been loyal. But I had all these unmet expectations that I had never verbalized or spoken. And when those things wouldn't happen, I would get angry, right? Or I would get upset. And it's important for us to verbalize those expectations. Because faithfulness isn't about surprises. It's about what we know. It's about what Christ shows us. It's about Him being with us and being loyal towards us. In light of Valentine's Day, which we just recently celebrated so that Hallmark could make money, we remembered loyalty, right, to those that we love. How many of you all helped keep Hallmark in business? Thank you. I'm going to buy stock in Hallmark. Thank you for that. The resurrection reminds us where our faith must always be focused. And our faith must be focused on Jesus, our Messiah, who came, who died, who rose again, and who has ascended to the Father. How often, however, do we lose faith in difficult circumstances? Anybody here ever lost faith? Anybody here ever found a situation or a circumstance so far beyond your comprehension that you had to fix it yourself? Right? And what relief there is when we finally remember, oh yeah, God's here. And we rely on His faithfulness and He sees us through that. Right? I got a clip I'm going to show you here in a second. I promised those of you on Facebook Winnie the Pooh, and I will not disappoint. There is a, I don't remember the name of the movie, it's a Winnie the Pooh movie that the kids have. This scene is one of my favorite scenes. Every time it comes on, you can ask Abby, it's in the car now, I think. And every time the scene comes on, I can't see it, but I can hear it. I tell everyone, okay, be quiet. Daddy wants to listen to this. It's just a funny scene. The wordplay on it is just marvelous. And it reminds us, and it reminds me, of what it looks like when I forget to be faithful to God, when I forget God's faithfulness towards me, and when I try to fix the problem myself. So, Christian, if you don't mind, we'll play that clip.
Okay, everyone, make sure you have a good hold. Heave, hold. Heave, hold.
Something tells me I was better off with Tigger.
Heave, hold.
Yep.
Oh, this is lovely. We are stuck down here, and the Batson is still up there.
Wait for me.
No, Piglet. No, Piglet. Stay.
But the Batson.
You can help us if you stay up there. Okay, Piglet. Go look for something to get us out of here.
Okay. There might be something over by the pack.
Oh, thank goodness one of us is up there. I was worried we'd be stuck here forever.
Yeah, I found something. Here.
What?
Ooh, well, that's a lovely flower, Piglet.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
Yes, Piglet, it's very nice. Perennial. But I think we need something longer.
Longer? Of course. How silly of me.
Oh, good thought, Piglet. But you can't possibly think that that's long enough.
Oh, yes it is. Hal read this to me once and it was certainly the longest thing I'd ever heard. Oh.
That's true, Robert. It lags a bit in the middle.
Oh, things. Why didn't we think to bring a rope?
Oh, well, there is this rope.
Spot on, Piglet. Do be a helpful little swine and get us out of here.
All of you?
Yes, Piglet. All of us.
All right. And six. There. And now you can all get out.
How very thoughtful you are, Piglet.
Oh, good grief. Tie them together, Piglet. Can you tie a knot?
I cannot.
Ah, so you can knot.
No, I cannot knot.
Knot, knot?
Who's there?
Pooh.
Pooh, who?
No, Pooh. Piglet, you'll need more than two knots.
Not possible.
Ah, So it is possible to knot those pieces.
Not these pieces?
Yes, not those pieces.
Why not?
But it's all for naught.
Oh, dear. I can't tie a knot. Oh, but there is something I can do.
Don't worry, Rabbit. Piglet's very clever.
I can tie a bow.
See?
Oh, for crying out loud, Piglet!
Anyone been there? A time or two? Poor Pooh is sitting in there, and like a guardy-loo, this anchor comes down, knocks them out, knocks them on the head. They're trying to figure everything out on their own. What we don't know from just that clip is they think Christopher Robin has been taken by this creature, and they're trying to fix it. And we see in the very beginning their rabbit has an idea, and his idea isn't necessarily about finding Christopher Robin. It's about recognition, right? It's about getting things. It's about everything other than being faithful towards other people. And he puts his faith in Piglet, and they put their faith in each other, and we see what happens. When I first saw that and I saw Piglet cut that rope, I just about lost it. How many times do we try things on our own only to come up short, to find that we have dug ourselves in a pit that we just can't get out. When our faith is in anything other than God, when we do not recognize the faithfulness of God, we find ourselves stuck. We find ourselves in places that we cannot get out. And there is no hope for us. There is nothing that can be done. All of the love, all of the joy, all of the peace, patience, kindness, and goodness in the world can't help us if our faith isn't where it needs to be. If we do not recognize God's faithfulness in our midst. But when we are faithful towards God, when we remember His faithfulness towards us, we begin to know and to understand how the resurrection of Jesus affects us and how it affects others and what good news this is. When we see this, it propels us to faithfulness, to doing the things that we have been called to do as followers of Jesus. Joe and I did a skit earlier showing one way that we are trying to be faithful to God by taking the church to those that aren't here. And again, we're going to give you the opportunity. I'm going to take my sermon here in a few moments, and I'm going to put it there, and you're going to have the opportunity to sign up to help. And then Joe's going to do all the talking the first time. You just got to be there. And we're going to express our faithfulness in that one way, and that's one thing we can do to be faithful. And there are a list of others, an infinite list of others, but how are we being faithful? God. May God's faithfulness, showcased through Jesus' resurrection, remind us of our task of faithfulness to God and others. May it serve as that catalyst for us to begin doing the things that we have been called to do. And there are an infinite number of things that we can do. May our faith guide us to the steadfast love of God. May we know that our faithfulness will bear fruit. It will bear fruit in our lives. It will bear fruit in the lives of others. None of these are a fruitless endeavor. All of them produce fruit. All of them show how we are faithful and loving towards God and remind us of how He is faithful and loving toward us. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this day, for Your love and grace. We thank You for Your faithfulness to us in the midst of all of the various things that we have going on. Forgive us for those moments where we forget to put our faith in You. Forgive us for those times where we seek to solve the problems we have on our own without Your help. Lord, when we turn to You, we are never disappointed. When we recognize You, we are filled with nothing but love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. We love You. We thank You. We praise You and ask all of these things